Welcome to show number 117 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What's going on, everybody? It's been a while. It's been over a month now, and I appreciate everybody hanging with us. We are back, not that we went anywhere particularly exciting, although I did make it to Vegas, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles, and that's part of the reason why of the delay in a podcast for about a month. But I just want to thank everybody. I had a couple people contact me. In particular, this show is going to be, I don't know if we have dedications or not, but this show is for Jeff. And you know who you are. You contacted me a couple days ago. This is for you, and I hope you enjoy today's program. Lots of interesting things to talk about. Nothing maybe particularly exciting or particularly current to the time. We're in the 1st of February here. Although 2013 Tops Baseball just came out, and I think my only advice to you is, we're not really going to talk about it that much, but my only advice to you is take a deep breath and know that packs and singles and all kinds of stuff from this is going to be around all year. And chances are some of the top promos or some of the exchange cards might not even get redeemed. And we'll talk about that, and why I say that is we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show about a 2012 promo from Top Series 1 or one of the Tops products, where they gave out some gold, or they were going to give out some gold infused baseballs. So we'll talk about the issue there and why you might want to be, savvy with your money. Speaking of being savvy with your money, we're also going to talk about Panini eliminating MAP pricing, MAAP pricing, or minimum advertised pricing. It's a mouthful, but they eliminated that. So we'll talk about that and the implication it has for you, maybe as a collector, you as a seller, and whoever else might be listening. We'll try to incorporate you in the discussion. First things first, I wanted to promote a new podcast, a new live podcast, but you can also listen to it recorded if you happen to be doing other things at the time. Mojo Break, Dan and Doug and company, my brother was on this last week. I think the show is formally called Sports Card Live, and I believe it's on a Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, so 7 p.m. for everyone out on the East Coast. And I'll have a link to the very first show in the show notes of this 117 podcast, so you'll be able to catch up on that. And I'll try to make an appearance on there as well in a future show. And I'm sure that, you know, if it's a weekly show, eventually you need all kinds of participants. So I'm sure if you have anything to add, you can contact the people over at mojobreak.com and they'll be able to hook you up. Let's move right along into what we're going to discuss for today. First thing first, Panini eliminating MAP pricing. This is great. If you just collect cards and buy boxes and buy even, I think, single cards and anything, any kind of where you're just the consumer in this business, this is great for you. This means prices. As I was reading on the forums, I don't typically buy product right when it comes out, or if I do, I'm not necessarily concerned about saving some money at the time. But if you're a serious collector and you're buying boxes every month, or say you are a Washington Redskins fan this year or even a Bengals fan last year, it was more exciting to open product. So I could see you buying product a lot and wanting to save money. And so the MAP pricing, minimum advertised pricing, essentially set a minimum price for online retailers to advertise a box for sale. And so this elevated the product, but this was only for 30 days. And so savvy collectors were waiting 30 days or would wait until the price dropped on most products, since that's what it typically did. And they would wait for the price to drop and then purchase. However, it did have the adverse effect, more of a positive effect for hobby stores, because then they didn't run into the problem where a guy with the cell phone these days, or people are even carrying around iPads and phones that look like spaceships, they'll just look up the price on blowout cards or whatever and say, hey, here it is. Here's the box for $78, and you got it on your shelf for $100. And, $78 is probably $4 over what it cost. And, considering what shelf space costs, it was a much better deal for the online retailer, the local hobby shop, who could price the product at a full margin. And when we're talking full margin, we're not talking 100% like it is, or even 50% like it is in most traditional retail. We're talking, you know, 10-30% at the most. And so why some, you know, part of me feels for a local hobby shop owner, somebody's trying to make money in this business. The other part of me says, hey, this is great for collectors. You're going to get a lower price more consistently. Prices are going to be able to drop faster and further than they had in the past. And there's no negative, really, because if a price was going to go up on a box, it was going to go up whether they had minimum advertising pricing or not. So this effectively lowers the price for the consumer, which is not a bad thing. However, if it hurts too many retailers, eventually you start running out of places to shop. As competition gets less and less in the business, that could drive prices up. Because if you know your blowout cards and you have people by the neck because there's no other place to buy the box, surely they'll start raising prices. So not good in that sense, but it's good if you're a consumer because I think this will lower the prices. If you are a seller and you're concerned, if you own a hobby shop, if you're doing box breaks, if you're a blowout cards type guy and you're doing a website, I would be concerned a little bit if you weren't doing a lot of volume. I think this will hurt medium to low volume sellers because you relied on maybe that inflated price those first 30 days to drive some sales and drive some profits. Now your profit margins are going to be tighter on all products, and if you're not selling a whole lot, then you're not making a whole lot of money. It might not make any sense to be in business. So this will certainly hurt low volume type sellers, but anyone moving a high volume shouldn't be too concerned, including hobby shops. If you're already moving a high volume, the lower price might encourage consumers and your loyal buyers to purchase more. So, but that was one point I had on the Panini blog. They had a Q&A with somebody from the company. I don't exactly know who the talking head was, but one of their quotes was, this will create more demand for pre-ordering product. And I, you know, maybe somebody will disagree with me on this, but if the price consistently goes down, and that's what it seems like most people saw with Panini product, even with Robert Griffin and high-end rookies, especially in basketball where it's a tough sell, and baseball where they don't have exclusive contracts and they're running out new products. I don't know. If the price consistently goes down, people won't risk pre-ordering at a price where the retail price could drop below that. And so I don't know if it – and consumers certainly were waiting – weren't mind waiting 30 days on the minimum price. So are they going to run out and pre-order now? Or are they going to wait for the price to drop even more now that there's price competition going on? So I don't agree with all the points that they made on their blog. Card stores now, my other points are, card stores are now like bars. So like when you go to a bar and you order a drink and it's like $15, you could have bought a whole bottle of liquor and had a house party for with one drink it costs in a bar. But what you're paying for in a bar is service and some, well, you don't ever get very good service in all bars. You're paying for service, the atmosphere, the chance to meet a fine young lady or fine young man at a bar, those kind of things, that's what you're paying for at a bar. Now, at a card shop, now I don't know if you're going to be able to bring in or attract fine young ladies to bring in the men that'll buy the cards. But you can get my idea. As a card store now, if you have a card store now, if you want to open one up in the future, you're going to have to attract customers and get them to pay a premium price, even though they know, everybody that goes to a bar knows you can go drink cheaper at your house or go drink cheaper somewhere else. But the atmosphere of the bar brings you in. And so the atmosphere of the card store needs to bring you in, and you need to figure out creative ways to get people in, whether it's promotions, contests, just the overall atmosphere. You have regulars that hang out there that are good guys and you guys laugh it up. If you have a TV, sodas, anything, popcorn, something fun for the kids to do while they're there, and you can hang out for an hour, anything to get them to attract you to your store to pay a premium price. That's what's going to happen, because this minimum advertising price, it might come back again in the future. It might not. Other manufacturers might try it. Others might not. But in the end, you're going to have to get people to pay a premium price at a hobby store. So you're going to have to figure out ways to do this. Another point I wanted to make is, as a consumer, I like this minimum advertised pricing only because, you know, do you ever buy an Apple product on sale? Can you buy that on Amazon? You know, there's a lot of product, or Rolex watch, you're going to get that 50% off. There's just certain products that you don't find on sale. And in fact, it often leads to them selling through better, and everybody, it's a win-win for everybody. Even though the consumer is paying more, we're buying a collectible that that we want to hold its value. And if you're constantly discounting it, it kind of hurts the underlying. I mean, a Rolex watch is, you know, you could argue it's a better watch than every watch made, but it does hold its value in part because it's very hard to find one on sale. You almost know. I saw a retailer in Las Vegas selling for 30% off, and, it, you know, I almost went in there and checked out the selection because finding a Rolex for more than 10, 20% off is a rare occurrence. And with cards, you know, a product might come out and it'll be 50% off in 30 days. So what does that tell you about the cards inside? How confident that does that make the consumer? So I don't know. The last suggestion I have for companies, Panini, anybody out there, is at least once a year, throw your retailers, throw the people a bone. You know what I mean? Throw them like a home run product where you're only charging them $80 for it, and it's it, you know, it's going to sell for $300 or $200 on the open market, or $180, where they can make $100 a box. Obviously, maybe allocate it a little bit, maybe reward some people that are buying cases of your stuff all year, but throw them a bone. They throw people a bone a little bit in Las Vegas at the industry summit. You could fly out there, maybe not from the East Coast, that's not a cheap flight, but anywhere out on the West Coast, middle of the country, you can fly out there and get a $50 hotel and get a black box and all the other stuff they give you and sell it on eBay or use it for some promotion and get your money back in some way. So that's kind of doing it, but you do have to come all the way out to Vegas. These guys in some hobby shops don't have they can't take that time off or don't have the extra money to make that expense. So I can see, you know, throw them a bone, throw a product out there every year that you only charge, where you cut your margins. You're asking the hobby stores to always cut their margins, always cut price, always cut their margins, always cut their profit down every month, every product. Throw them a, cut your margins to zero, cut your margins to negative, and throw it out there to your most, I would suggest doing that. If you're going to eliminate MAC pricing, throw a bone out to the hobby stores every once in a while. Give them some exclusive product, exclusive packaging, something to make it attractive for people to go into that business. We're not attracting new business in sports cards. We're not attracting new money. You don't see new companies want to get into sports cards. You see new companies want to get into online streaming and hot, like making devices and operating systems. You see people that shouldn't even be in that business getting that business, but that's where the money is. We want to attract that kind of money in cards. And part of it is it's just a low margin business. The only people opening cards are typically collectors and things like that. And that's not necessarily good for the long term, not necessarily a thing that's going to really grow the hobby. So hopefully those kind of things can turn around. Profits are good. Even though as a consumer you might pay more, profits are good. It does spur more competition, more options to buy and things of that nature. So maybe eliminating MAP prices will get more people in the game and might help sell through more product in the end. We'll see what happens. We're not going to take a break. This is not going to be a particularly long podcast. I just have one other topic to talk about. This is from some emails I got. I was in Las Vegas when the Twitter conversation went down. I tried to go through that and also a thread on freedomcardboard.com. I'll try to link both of those kind of things together. But I also got some emails, one with the initials ES. You know who you are, so I appreciate you copying me or making me more aware of this situation. Well, last year during a product, you could go to a hobby store and you could buy cases, and there were these gold – it was a Gold Rush promo, 2012 Gold Rush promo from baseball. It was essentially you got these golden tickets, and they were good for a gold-infused tri-sign, triple-sign baseball from Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., and Hank Aaron. Sounds pretty incredible. Sounds like an amazing hit. Almost sounds too good to be true, because how many Willie Mays, Griffey, Hank Aaron balls have you seen? How many gold infused balls have you seen? I guess they're from the State Farm All-Star Game or something like that. They have gold. They're like, you can buy them. I guess they're like $90 to $100 for just one of the baseballs. So just the baseball is pretty cool. You're supposed to get one of these. Several people got won the contest and sold their redemption card essentially on eBay, selling anywhere from $1,000 all the way up to $2,000. Very expensive, very rare hit. Many considered, although Topps apparently didn't consider this one of the premier hits of the product, or the premier drivers of the product, I certainly think this is it. Makes for one of the premier. If you are, think about this as a collector. This is, we all got to take a step back. If you were lucky enough, I don't care how much money you spent or how you got it. Maybe you've only bought one case or one box. Maybe you had to buy 50 of them. But think about how cool it would be to get this and be anticipating getting this prize or getting this redemption card. Even if you bought it on eBay, if you spent $2,000, even if you're a rich fool, that's still a lot of money. You can't just dust off. Even rich people aren't dusting off $2,000 for nothing, you know, most of the time. Although I saw plenty of that where I was on vacation. But nevertheless, it's a lot of money. But think about it. How cool that would be. If I know if I was anticipating, I'd be like, I'd be stoked every day of the week. Anytime I had a bad day, something went wrong, I'd be like, hey, at least I'm getting this Griffey Mays Hank Aaron gold infused ball. So I never downplay, and I don't think anybody should ever downplay anybody's anticipation, anybody's frustration with not getting a prize. I'm always feel for those people, and anybody that discourages people from complaining or discourages anybody from coming forward with saying, hey, what's wrong with it? Where's my promo? Is like a criminal in my eyes, because if you're anticipating this prize, I can see after a year or however many months it's been being like, where the hell is my ball? And apparently Topps is not honoring the promo, and they have a very, you know, they could have emailed these people, or they could have made some kind of formal announcement. Maybe they put out a tweet and they're one of the 1,000 that they put out a day. But, you know, how are you going to see that if you're not, you know, a Twitter geek and on there 24 hours a day? So people are wondering. I'm getting emails. Everybody's posting on forums wondering where these balls are. Apparently they're not doing it. There's been some speculation that they've honored the ball with like a case of Topps Archive, which is worth on the open market between $650 and maybe $700 tops. You know, maybe when it originally came out, that was like a $1,400 case. I don't know. That's the beauty of not having minimum advertised pricing. The product can go all the way down to market value. But there were collectors that paid a lot of money for these balls. And part of the reason, maybe part of the reason why you haven't got your ball back, and there's some speculation here again, is that Willie Mays is either not healthy enough to sign the ball, or he doesn't want to sign with Griffey and Aaron. I mean, every athlete's ego is the size of an ocean, so he may not want to be on a ball with the other three. He might sign when the other two sign and cover up his – I don't know. I saw Willie Mays throw out a first pitch at a Giants game. I'm pretty sure he can sign his name on a ball. He's been doing it for his whole life, so I don't think that's anything too difficult for him. That's an agent, I'm sure, just – pulling some chains to squeeze some money out of Willie Mays' pockets, essentially. But who knows? If you can't get them all three on one ball, here's my suggestion to Topps. Well, you just had Willie Mays in a signing, apparently, and I'm sure Hank Aaron and Griffey, they need money. They're signing too. Get three balls. I know that'll cost you a little bit more money, but put Willie Mays on one. If Willie Mays doesn't want to sign with anybody, put Willie Mays on one ball. Put Ken Griffey Jr. on one ball, and put Hank Aaron on another ball. Hey, if you can't have all three gold infused, it'd be great. Get three gold infused balls. To me, if I was a customer and Topps was like, hey, we had some complication getting them all three on one ball or whatever, there was miscommunication, but we got a Willie Mays ball for you. We have a Ken Griffey ball and a Hank Aaron ball. Well, am I going to complain? No, heck no. I think if you complain at that point, that you might be on the greedy side, but at least they honored the promotion with giving me a Mays, Griffey, and Aaron autograph. Did I get them all on one ball, which would be great, a really unique piece? No, but hey, I got all three on a ball. What am I, you know, I got it'll display even nicer on my shelf. I got three balls instead of one. You might even feel like you got a better deal because maybe you only like Willie Mays. You could sell Griffey and Hank Aaron and make money. So I don't – but offering me a case of a product that hasn't sold – obviously hasn't sold well, and you have laying around at distributors and all over the place, every corner of the world, you have this Topps Archive laying around. You offer me that? I mean, that this is only – and the reason why I get a little upset about this is you go to Topps' Facebook page. You go to any collector forum, Blowout Car, anywhere it's where it's not censored to a certain degree. You'll find all kinds of problems with Topps, with not just promotions of this caliber, but with other redemption packs, with contests, with redemption cards that came back that were supposed to be autographed and aren't, and came back with a relic piece that – isn't in there, and there's all kinds of problems. And it's been like a whole year of this, and so this Gold Rush promo made me. They're running like $1 million promo. You got to be kidding me! They're not giving away $1 million. They're not even gonna. They're gonna make $1 million off that promo. They're not gonna give away $1 million. You got to be kidding me! They can't even honor their premier, one of their premier promotions from last year. You got to be kidding me! They'll never give away if they can't get Maze, Griffey, and Aaron to sign on a ball. No way they're giving away $1 million or a million of something. So be very cautious. This is not good. I encourage everybody to continue to complain on Twitter, continue to complain on Facebook, even if you don't think it does any good, even if you have people trying to tell you to be quiet or it's the same story for every company. If that's the attitude everybody takes, then eventually where's the new collectors in the hobby? You know, us as veterans, if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably been collecting cards for a while, or you've collected a while in the past, so you have some connection to the hobby. We're trying to attract new people to the hobby, because trust me, if we just recycle the same money in the hobby, your box of cards is for sure going to go down in value, because as inflation and eBay takes their fees and Checkout My Cards takes their fees and everybody's taking their fees out of the hobby, if we're not attracting new money in, new collectors that have trust in the companies that say, hey, I get treated like a great customer here. If we're not attracting those people, the hobby is on a straight line down to, you know, where you're going to have worthless pieces of cardboard. Because if this is how, I mean, I don't know how I can, if, you know, I have a lot of people, when I tell them I am interested in baseball cards, I have a baseball card website, they're often like, you know, who collects baseball cards anymore? And that's not a good, you know, we want some positive feelings around cards. If they were to get in, how am I telling them to get in? Hey, you win a premier prize. You get a hit of a lifetime. And then Topps kind of slaps you in the face by offering you $600 worth of cards, you know, for some autographed baseball. It wasn't even, you know, they didn't even honor the promo, you know. Could have given any autographed baseball. It would have been closer to than giving me leftover wax that didn't sell through. So, unfortunately, we have people that work for these companies and people that surround these companies that kind of put these people, all that, you know, we should be loving the athletes that perform on the field and the teams that they represent. Those are who we should be looking up to, not the people that manufacture cards of the athletes. You know what I mean? Like, well, this is just, it's, you know, it's like the people that look up to Steve Jobs, I mean, rest in peace, he passed away, but, you know, I mean, homeboy was a CEO. He didn't, you know, we should celebrate the people in China who have to slave 12 cents an hour to make the phones more than we should celebrate a guy that was just trying to make some money. So that's my point. I think other than blasting on Facebook, Twitter, don't get discouraged if you have people saying, oh, what are you complaining for, blah, blah, blah. That's your right. You spent your money and you spent your time. You could have spent your money on anything, could have spent your time doing other stuff, but you did it on cards and you got ripped off. By all means, display your displeasures any way possible and do it however you feel fit. The last thing I think you could possibly do that could have some impact, if you feel you've been wronged many, many times, contact MLB Properties. They're the ones that hand out licenses. If they're made aware that one of their properties licensors are not running a reputable business or constantly ripping off customers, that's not the kind of people the MLB wants representing their logos and brands and image. Trust me, if they get calls every day, they will not be, they will be much, I wouldn't say they won't do business, but they'll be much more hesitant to even offer an exclusive contract to one company who seems to think they're above all because they make baseball cards on cardboard. So, of course, I'm pretty pathetic. I do a podcast about baseball cards, but I think you get the idea here. Contact MLB Properties, 245 Park Avenue in New York. I got a Carmen Julia Hunt. Yes, three names. I think that's all one person, though. Carmen, like Carmen San Diego, Julia, like Julia Roberts, and Hunt, like hunting with a illegal shotgun. 212-931-7977 is the phone number. I would encourage you to give him a call or send him an email. Do anything you can to make them aware that you're not getting proper service from a company that is making money off the MLB properties, which I'm sure they'll be interested to hear about. That, folks, that about wraps it up. My voice is already, you know, you tell I haven't done a podcast in a month, but you also tell I was in Las Vegas. I recommend going to Las Vegas at any time, but maybe not in January. Everybody was sick, and you get like the South Dakota cold, you get the Texas cold, you get the South Carolina virus, and you get all the strands, and there's no way to get healthy. So you literally, I had to leave town to get healthy, and I still am recovering. So hopefully you all are doing, are in much better shape in your neck of the woods. Hopefully you guys are all enjoying it. And hey, like the, we're in our fifth year of this podcast. I think our loyal listeners and people that have listened to most of the shows know I'm constantly telling you to conserve your money. Be careful with your money. Just in the beginning of the show, 2013 baseball comes out, everybody's all excited, pumped up. Baseball hasn't even started yet. I see people paying $100 for Hunter Pence World Series jerseys numbered out 100. That, you know, that might be slightly different. I think you're still overpaying there, but just be real careful with your money. If you have the company, don't even care about honoring redemptions. Don't care about their customers, and seem to only win customers over or get people drinking the Kool-Aid when they give out enough product to them or give out contests and they win a few. That's when you can get them to not ignore all the bad things. But we're not going to do that here, and I fully suggest you not as well. And so you can vote a little bit with your dollars and a little bit with your spending money as well. I encourage you to stay in the hobby. I've been in this hobby for a long time, but there's been times where I've spent more money than I haven't. And if I feel like I'm getting a good deal, then I'm going to spend some money. But most of the time, hey, with the MAP pricing and some of this other stuff, I felt like I wasn't a good deal. Maybe now with the competition and stuff like that, maybe we'll get better deals and things might roll for us. So we'll see how it all plays out for the rest of the year. We'll have plenty of more podcasts to go. That about wraps it up for today. Thanks again for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. We'll come back shortly. It'll be, I promise you, it won't be another month. And if it is, I'll have some really extremely good excuse if it does happen to be that long. But I don't plan on. Thanks again for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are all doing well. Check out the new Sports Card Live podcast from mojobreak.com and company. So until then, we are out of here.